And Father, we know that to be true, that you are a great God. And thank you that in your greatness, but in your grace, you come to us in Jesus and live within us by your Spirit. Thank you that you who are high above the heaven of the heavens have come to dwell with each of us. And we ask that today you'd renew both our sense of your greatness and our experience of your presence. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, St. Margaret's. It's great to see you, and thank you for coming, and thank you, band, Chris and the band, for leading your worship. That was great. And thank you, Ruth, for remaining so calm, as there were problems with any of us who've done a presentation at any time will have sympathized, died for you, as the computer refused to respond, but it's great to see you. May I read to you a few verses from James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 6 to 10, on page 1149. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. But God gives us more grace. That's why the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Every October I have this feeling that this year I'm going to be very well prepared for Christmas when it comes. It's ages away, but if you go to any major shop in central London at the moment, you would imagine that it's going to happen within the next 10 days. And normally, it's 10 days before Christmas that I begin to think about Christmas cards, presents, ordering a Christmas tree, making sure that the Christmas lights work, and all the things that anyone responsible would have begun to do in October. And every year when I'm up at midnight on December the 23rd, hoping that the post office didn't really mean it when they said the last posting day for Christmas was 3 days ago, I think next year I am going to be really well prepared. And I looked the other day, of course, looking at my Christmas card list is of absolutely no real benefit at all, because it doesn't actually produce any Christmas cards being written or addressed or posted. But I looked at my Christmas card list the other day, which I thought was probably the first time for 30 years that I'd looked at it so early in the year, and thought, goodness, there are quite a few people on this list whom I would count as my friends, whom I actually haven't spent any time with at all this year, and who must be really wondering, I wonder whether he still wants to know me at all. And of course I do. I've just been, as usual, so hopelessly organized and so appallingly, apparently, antisocial that I haven't seen them at all. It was underlined when I went to a meeting not very long ago and sat opposite a chap who I would call a friend. We've known each other for 20 years. We used to see each other fairly regularly. And, you know, we've got to that stage now that at the end of a meeting, we always grab each other and say, how are you? How's life? Is everything okay? We must get together. We must get a date in the diary. Shall I ring you or will you ring me? Shall we text? Shall we? Oh, yes, yes, yes. We'll sort it out. We'll meet soon. And then 2 months later at another meeting, I think, oh, yes, I think it was me that was supposed to text you, wasn't it? And you were sitting there thinking, oh, well, he doesn't really care at all. And I think this time I really will sort it out. Otherwise, you'll think our friendship is of no value whatsoever. And James here in these verses is basically refocusing our thinking on our friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote in these last couple of paragraphs, before we come to this, about friendship with the world, which clearly he didn't think was a particularly good thing to pursue. And here he's talking about friendship with the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, encouraging us in these next few paragraphs to refocus our thinking on how we can deepen our friendship with Almighty God. And he begins to do so by focusing us on his extraordinary generosity, on God's extraordinary generosity, of course, and not James's. And when it comes to friendship with God, the starting point is responding to the quality of relationship that he's offered to us. So James begins in verse 6 by writing, he gives us more grace. The God whom we've come to know through the Lord Jesus Christ is one who not only wants to resource us with his grace for every situation that we're likely to face, but who through his grace wants to deepen his relationship with us. It's a short phrase, that, isn't it? He gives us more grace. But it's full of the most encouraging promise. It underlines that God is entirely on our side, that he never falters in his concern about our needs, that his resources are never at an end, his patience is never exhausted, his initiative never stops, and his generosity knows no limits. He gives us more grace. That's what it means. And James says, if we take nothing else away from these few verses, we need to be convinced of that, that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ looks at us and thinks, how can I help? How can I give you the resources you need? How can I help deepen this relationship? Let me take the initiative. Let me display all the promise that I want you to have. And the more, of course, that we take that on board, the more we experience what he wants to give us, the more we want to respond in an appropriate way. James writes about this, though we might not have realized that this was what he was writing about. He writes about this in verse 7, where we're called to submit yourselves then to God. And it all sounds initially a bit hard line, doesn't it? Not particularly encouraging. Submission is not something that we're into very much, most of us anyway. But the idea behind the original word translated here, submit yourselves, was originally about a word describing joining in the army, enlisting in the armed forces. And as we apply it to this context and to you and me, it's God saying, it's here saying, yes, given your commitment to me, God, given the generosity you've shown me in Jesus, and through your Spirit, I'm ready to work with you. I'm ready to work with you so that I become more like the Lord Jesus, which is most of the aim of becoming a Christian. And I'm also willing to partner with you to make a difference in this city and in the place where I work. I'm ready to enlist in your service. You've been so good to me that the very least I can do is respond to you and to partner with you and to work with you. I recognize it might not always be comfortable. And actually, I hope you recognize, God, there's quite a lot of pressure in my life already. But in spite of all of that, in the end, I want to be part of what you're doing round here. That's what it means when James says, submit yourselves then to God. It's an exciting invitation rather than a depressing instruction. It sounds great. We want to do it. We want to be part of what God's doing in us and around us. But what happens if some of us here are at that point where we just think, oh Lord, I'm just not there at the moment? I look around this congregation, I think, my goodness, there are some people here who are really motoring away for you, but that's not me at the moment. And if you look at my life, you can see that. Well, fortunately, James understands that we're not always in that situation where we want to go with it for God. And we're helped in another word which has military connotations. In verse 9, grieve, he says, and then he goes on to say, mourn and wail. Not particularly encouraging again, isn't it? First submit, then grieve. And you think, well, Lord, this is not quite what I've signed up for. I just want more of your grace, not more of the hassle that seems to be here. But grieve is yet another military word. He was obviously in a military mood, James, when he wrote that. And it describes the situation that those of us who've read any history or watched any history on television will know occurs from time to time, more in the past than actually today, when an army's line of supply has failed, when the food and the weapons haven't got through, when something has happened and what's needed for survival suddenly isn't available, what we might have expected actually isn't there. Those times when armies are just ready to give up, ready to surrender because they think we've no resources, we simply can't carry on. We're either going to be massacred by the enemy or die of hunger. That's what the word grieve talks about here. And for you and me, it's a word which allows us to say to the Lord Jesus, actually, I have nothing left at the moment. I see the vision, I hear the invitation, but actually I have nothing left. I'm just holding on. I'd love you to change me. I'd love to partner with you in what you're doing around here, but not at the moment. And it sends us back to verse 6, to the one who gives us more grace, because only then can we get on board with what Jesus is doing. The band are going to come now and lead us in worship and just give us a chance to just be alone with the Lord. And if you'd like anyone to pray with you after that, if you think, I'd love someone to pray for more grace, because actually I'm either raring to go or else there's nothing left. If you'd like someone to pray for more grace, come and join one or two of us who'll be up there and who'd love to pray for more grace in your life.